Next step number 317, 3rd of July 2014.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. You're listening to The Next Step with Father Vazquez. On June 12th, with episode 314, we concluded our sixth year of broadcasting The Next Step to a worldwide audience. For the next several weeks, we will be on hiatus. During our time away, we will be working on special recordings to bring to you when we resume our new season. In the meantime, please enjoy an episode from our archives.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez welcoming you back to The Next Step, a series of podcasts delving into the very fabric of being, examining life through the ancient lens of Armenian Orthodox. These podcasts are being made available to you through the expanding vision of the In Issues Mission, the Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and of course, the good folks at epostle.net. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. So let's take the next step. Well, I hope you're looking forward to this week's podcast as much as I'm looking forward to being with you every week. I have to tell you, it's just very exciting preparing these podcasts and spending this time together. This evolved out of our Questions of Faith group. You know, once a week we would meet in with our group, and people started saying that, can we expand this? And of course we can, and certainly the internet gives us that opportunity to really reach out to places that we never thought we would reach out before. And from the looks of the emails that we receive, the voice messages, it's beyond me how far these podcasts are reaching out. So as I said last week, I'm really uncomfortable reading your names. If you give me permission, I'll be happy to read your name. But we've received some kind of at least quite a bit of email that we just printed up right now just to make it a little easier for me to read. Couple of them were asking, like, what are we up to? And certainly that's something that everybody should be asking. What are you doing over there? You're talking about Armenian Orthodoxy. What happens if you're not Armenian? What happens if you're not Orthodox? Well, the what-ifs could go on and on, but let's put a little framework to it. You know, we started these podcasts as an extension of our Bible studies, which we conveniently called Questions in Faith. I never was comfortable with the name Bible study because it's much more than a Bible. It's an opportunity to get together and not just read, but to process, to challenge, and change those words into living words in our lives. So Questions in Faith was all about that. And when we had this opportunity to expand via the internet, we grabbed it. And I'm very happy that it's caught on in these short 3 weeks that we've been together. Couple of the messages asked about affiliation, and I guess if you're Armenian, that would make sense, what affiliation and so on. So let's tell you what's going on. First of all, Armenian Orthodoxy. What is Armenian Orthodoxy? How about the Armenian Church without the affiliation? Have you ever thought about, like, what did St. Gregory teach? What did St. Vartan die for? What did Naregatsi or Shnorhali, or how about all of those 1.5 million martyrs that we lost in the first genocide, what did they understand themselves to be? And what about all of the Armenians that survived? What was the power that allowed them to survive? So we're talking about Armenian Orthodoxy, which is not necessarily connected to an institution. So our object here is twofold. First of all, for those who have been feeling disenfranchised, maybe a little away from the Armenian church per se, an opportunity to really latch on to what the meaning of the church is, without necessarily going into affiliations of what color, what politics, or so on. For the non-Armenian, it's equally as important, because here you have a chance to really connect to an ancient faith, a faith that existed from the beginning of Christianity, and in an unusual way. When we talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, remember, Armenia was at the crossroads. It's right in between Europe and Asia. Just everybody went through that area. It was at the crossroads of civilization. And so when you talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, it's not necessarily Greek or Russian Orthodox. Certainly not, because first of all, there's a big language difference and a way of thinking. And it's not necessarily Western religion, in that we're still Eastern, but not subscribing to Greek or Russian Orthodoxy as just the basic tenets. As you know, we're Armenian Orthodoxy is non-Chalcedonian. So what does that all mean? How does that mean? What does that mean to people today? Well, think about your lives today. What are you looking for in your lives? Where's our spirituality coming from? You look and you look and you search and you go to different places. You go to different means and you find different things. And sometimes when we get to Christianity, unfortunately, this beautiful, beautiful tradition that Jesus Christ has given us with his idea of sacrifice, with his idea of loving one another until it even kills you. This entire idea of what Christianity is all about is lost because we're so quick to compartmentalize it, whether it's in the West, whether it's in the Protestant tradition, the Roman Catholic, or the Eastern Orthodox. And this small, small little enclave called Armenia, this small little group of people who identify themselves as Armenian Orthodox, for some reason, if you look at it, have no business being on earth. Every tyrant, every cannibal, every barbarian has walked through that land and has desecrated it, has raped the people, has raped the land, has killed the people, massacred the people, and including genocide, and yet these people are living. Well, what's their strength? Certainly it wasn't military power. They've never had any big military power. But they've had an incredible connection to the divine. And I want you to think about that for a moment. What can we learn from Armenian Orthodoxy that can make our lives reflect what they're intended to do and really survive, not in the sense of just a physical existence, but survive spiritually? That's what Armenian Orthodoxy is all about, and that's what these podcasts are about, a way for us to connect to that very grassroots understanding of Christianity as the Armenians understood back in the first centuries when Thaddeus and Bartholomew brought the faith to Armenia, as we understood through the centuries and as we should understand today. So what I want to do out of these in these podcasts is not necessarily be an apologist for the Armenian church, to say that this is what we believe and this is what you should believe and so on. That doesn't serve anybody any good. If you want a history lesson about the Armenian church, if you want to know about the theology of the Armenian church, there's ample Sunday school books that you could acquire, you could avail yourself to. What we're going to be doing here is really look at life, our life today, through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. And next week I hope to get to some more of these letters, but I want to today, right now, move on to the lesson of the day. And I thought it was so appropriate that we stand here right now on the eve of Independence Day, Here in America, we celebrate the 4th of July, and I know many of you listeners in different countries have your own Independence Day, and if you don't have an Independence Day that you celebrate, certainly the idea of independence is worthy of celebration, something that you strive for. And in fact, as we know, people have even laid down their lives for. It's the ultimate cost of freedom is laid down in lives. We measure freedom by lives, by blood being shed, and so on. So I wanted to talk about this idea of independence and how our spirituality is connected to it, and why it is so important as Christians to really understand ourselves within the context of that. So take a look at, for instance, this document called the Declaration of Independence in America. What a beautiful piece of writing. I mean, whether you're American, you're not, you gotta really stand in awe when you read some of this writing, whether in the Constitution or in the Declaration. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Now, let's not get into the pursuit of happiness, because that could be up for grabs in many interpretations, but certainly life and liberty, which we talk about freedoms and this independence, are something that are ideally, and of course, I believe, something that God has ordained us to be, that each of us needs to be independent in ourselves. You cannot really live dependent of other things. Otherwise, what happens is that you lose your selfhood. You lose the person that you want to be. I mean, think about the process of coming into this world. You know, there's probably no other animal in the entire animal kingdom, aside from man, who is so dependent when he first comes into this world. I mean, think about it. A child left unattended for even a few hours is as good as dead, let alone a couple days. In the animal kingdom, sure, there are other animals who will be with their parents for a short while, but immediately, or if not immediately, within a few days, they are already walking or flying. It's only the child that really, the human species, that needs all of this attention, that needs to be taken care of completely dependent. And look what happens to that child. Immediately, the parents try to break that child of its dependence. What do they do? Quickly, they try to get the child to come off of breast milk. Next, it might be to feed itself, to take care of itself, potty training, extensive research into this area of child development. And still, the child has its ties and it has its dependence with the parents. But there is a struggle. There is a struggle that happens at some point in childhood and continues throughout adolescence. The struggle to identify oneself as a self, as an independent entity. And then what happens in the teenage years, a child wants to break off. Remember those teenage years where we're smarter than our parents? Where parents, what do they know? We know it all. And sure, with that, there's a control issue that takes place. Finally, we get into adulthood, and an individual is ready for separation, begins to struggle for identity as a self. Right? Isn't it so true that the whole process of college is not so much as getting an education, but really identifying what that individual is all about? To be able to experiment, to be able to touch different arenas in life and come up with an identity, an expression for his or herself. And probably one of the greatest attributes that a human being does have, aside from all of the other animal kingdom people, is that eventually the human being has the ability to decide and set its own destiny. In other words, you have the ability to make your future. This is such an incredible thing that God has empowered us with. Not that our life has already been spelled out for us, but we have the ability to change life, to be able to create life, to be a participant in the creative process. I mean, think about this whole idea of independence and our wanting to be independent. I mean, even in the myths that we've grown up with, look at the Adam and Eve story. I mean, what is that all about? Adam and Eve are taking this action. Why? To show their independence, that they are rebelling against God. God has given one set of standards, but they use their free will to go by another set of standards. And what does God say? You could do anything you want, except don't do that one thing. Think about a child. Just like a child, you tell a child, watch all the TV you want, except that one channel. And what is that child going to do? Turn on that one channel, the forbidden fruit. It is challenging. It is tempting. And of course, that's what the story of Adam and Eve points to as one of its many, many, many lessons. And we are always in this rebellion and at the same time a struggle to find that freedom. And so when we talk about independence, and it's certainly whether it's a 4th of July or an 8th of June or whatever day you celebrate that independence, and for Armenians we have a new one in September 21st, these dates are just opportunities for us to really think about who are we, what are we dependent on, and how can we truly find that freedom? Which Christ tells us, he says that through him there is an opportunity. What does that mean? Well, through love. Through love there is an opportunity to really separate yourself from the trappings of this world. By that I mean to be able to put down the things that hold you in bondage. Now think about that for a moment. I know that's a lot to process all of a sudden, but when we talk about God as being love or Jesus as being love incarnate, we're not talking about individuals, we're talking about concepts that are truly at the heart of our existence, that give us that ability to rise from our humanity and really touch the face of God, the essence of God, which is love. So when you get out there and you reach out to somebody, you help somebody, you express that love, what are you doing if not freeing yourselves from the shackles, from the bonds that hold you down? I'm going to play you a song right now. We've been doing a song a week, and I've been getting some nice responses to that. Today I'm going to play you two songs. One of them is probably something you've heard. One of them is something that you haven't heard. The first one is going to be Harry Belafonte singing a song about freedom. And I want you to think about the entire Black experience here in America, coming from slavery, and listen to the tones that are given in this song. I'm going to play you an Armenian piece by Gomidas immediately after, and I'm going to challenge you not to contrast the two pieces, which so typically people will want to do, but rather see the parallels in these. Because when I talk to you about Armenian Orthodoxy, it's not about an ethnic Armenian. It's about the ability to rise beyond that ethnicity and to see ourselves truly as children of God who can tap in to that love power. So let's listen to Harry Belafonte right now, and we'll be right back.
Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave. Oh, yeah. And go home to my Lord and be free. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me.
And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in a marked grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Everybody!
Oh, freedom!
Oh, freedom! Sing it, sister!
Oh, freedom over me! And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.
No more mourning, yeah!
No more mourning! No more mourning! No
more mourning over me!
And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.
No more crying, yeah!
No more crying!
Come
on!
Freedom in the Lord. Did you catch the way this song progressed from the agony at the beginning of the song to an actual joyous praise, to an outbursting of energy and emotion? That freedom is such an important thing that there cannot be any compromise, that we want our freedom all the way. Otherwise, we will have that freedom in God. Now, this is a very important and fundamental understanding of our relationship with God, in that that true, complete freedom from all of the agonies and difficulties of this world, including the materialist dilemma that we get caught up in, is something beyond this world, but at the same time, a condition of this world, and therefore necessary for our growth. Gomidas Vartabed was a monk of the Armenian Church during the latter portion of the 19th century and coming into the 20th century. During the Armenian Genocide, 1915, he lost his sense, his wit, and eventually died in 1935. However, his greatest contribution to the Armenian Church is still reverberating today, and that is in the music that he produced and gave us. We're going to be listening to a piece called Yerginka Ambele, means the sky has clouded. I want you to think about it in the same way that we heard the Belafonte piece. Listen to Gomidas Vartabed. This is a rendition done by Armen Babakhanyan, and it appears on a CD called Gomidas Piano Works. But listen to the way the song progresses. In the difficulties, being able to find the challenges and the joy of God's love. I mean, here's a man who is seeing not only his demise, but he is seeing his people being captured in servitude, and yet in that he finds this beauty in this music. Take a listen. Yergika Ambele by Gomidas Vartabed. Thank you. just a little snippet of Gomidas Vartabed's works. But you see and you hear in the tune, in the melody, the freshness. You feel the creative power of Gomidas. And it's something that transcends the melody and goes into a feeling line, something that you feel inside of you that is being created. And in the same way, we as human beings need to transcend our beings and really focus in on our creative energy, because God has given us some incredible, incredible gifts. Among them is the ability to create. No other animal has that ability to really be able to create this structure of a life that you and I enjoy. And sure, I'm not talking about regimes. I'm not talking about political systems. I'm talking about the essence of what life is all about. Your ability to connect and interact with other people. Your ability to grow as a person. And you have that freedom. You have that freedom to make of life what you will. Sometimes when I look at the generation that came after the genocide, I call them the generation of God's people. They did God's work. What did God do according to the Bible? It says God had nothing and he created something. You look at that generation that came after 1915, they had absolutely nothing. They had an entire country, a civilization that was lost, that was tortured, that was maimed and taken away. But they had faith, and based on that faith, they were able to create something. Nothing to something. And when you start loving, that's when you start creating. And think about it. That's what the struggle is all about. From our childhood, we grow up struggling to be independent. Why? For our ability to be able to create, for our ability to become full and complete, to our ability to be able to love, to share in what God has started from us from the beginning of the time. And what does that depend on? It depends upon us to answer favorably to God's commands. And those are very simple. Like I said a few minutes ago, what was Adam and Eve's biggest sin? It was they wanted to become equal with God. What is the sin of all people? Whether it's Talat Pasha during the genocide, whether it's Adolf Hitler during the Holocaust, or any tyrant that comes along, what is the big sin? It is that they decide that they are on par with God, that they can do the same as God and decide the destiny of someone else. But you know what? You and I do that all the time. God tells us one thing and we do another thing. God says, take care of yourself, and we're able to abuse our bodies and our systems. God says, I've given you a world, and we start polluting it. We endanger lifestyles. God says, take care of the animals. Take care of all the things that have been given to you. And what do? We poach. We maim. We slaughter, we kill, we put insecticides on the foods, and then the animals eat it, and so on, and it goes through the chain of life, and it starts affecting us. And then we come up with the big ones. We start developing cancers within us, within ourselves, within our populations, and we say, why? We start contracting horrible diseases, and we say, why? Because we've done the same sin that from the beginning of time people have done, wanting to be like God, not to create, but to destroy. Not to create in a positive manner, but to take that energy and to use it for selfish means. You see, when God created, what did he do? He created for our benefit. When we try to create, make sure that creation angle is always projected to someone else. Make sure you're helping. Make sure you're loving. You're caring about someone else besides yourself. That's what it's all about. It's in the loving, it's in the giving that we define ourselves. This is the 4th of July weekend. In America, it's a big one because we're now in a war. We've got kids that are fighting a war that's over 5 years in the making. We've got an entire history of war. We've got people that have laid down their lives for this beauty that we call independence, freedom. Our prayers are with the soldiers. Our prayers are with all of those who've given their sacrifice for this freedom that we enjoy. But at the same time, let us pray for ourselves, that God let us not die for our freedoms, but to live for our freedoms, to live by loving, by extending ourselves, by reaching out and really being the people that are worthy to be called creators of their life. Well, with that, we come to an end of another podcast, and I hope you'll join us again next week. Please tell your friends, epostle.net, put in an email address, and you're certain to get an email back with the latest session, with the latest episode of The Next Step. The good folks at epostles.net have also set up a feedback system, feedback@epostle.net, and we'd love to hear your comments, your opinions about these podcasts. In the meantime, if you enjoyed the background music today, that was the Taizé Prayer. This is a monastic community in southeastern France, founded in the 1940s, and there's a little bit of their music that we were listening to today. Remember that these podcasts are also available on CD. You're welcome to pick one up, just drop us a line, and we hope to have that portion of these podcasts automated in the very, very near future. And finally, just want to say, happy birthday, America. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bring them home safely and soundly soon. And for all the troops that have paid the ultimate price, that laid their bodies down for our freedoms, may their memories always live within us. With that, for Susie, our producer, for Ken up in the booth, and myself, Father Voskin, thank you for being with us. We look forward to taking the next step with you next week.